Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Co-host TJ Inman will be on shortly, and we'll have a special guest, Alex Compton, who's a staff writer here at Hoosier Huddle, to talk about the Mac. He's our resident Mac expert, but tonight we are wrapping up our three podcast series from around the nation. We'll cover the SEC and the four Group of Five conferences that we did not touch on yesterday. Now we welcome in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Sammy. I hope the people have enjoyed the way that we're kind of approaching the national landscape of things, dipping our toes into the water here for a national preview. And I know I'm every time we do any research on these or talk about this on a podcast, it just gets me even more excited for the upcoming season.
Yep, 44 days to go, 44 days and an hour, as the IU will kick off against Ohio State at 8 o'clock on August 31st. Let's get down to it in the SEC. Let's go division champs. Who are your division champs in the East and West?
Well, for me, I know that Alabama loses a ton, but I just think it'd be, I don't want to say foolish, but that's kind of the way I feel at this point. It'd be kind of foolish to pick anyone but Alabama to win the West. I think that they have proven enough at this point. I don't think we have to talk a ton about the Crimson Tide to know, how highly respected Nick Saban has become. Certainly one of the greatest coaches of all time. So I'm going to go with Alabama in the West. The East is a much tougher proposition to pick. Major toss-up for me between Florida and Georgia. I was leaning towards Florida for quite a while before I eventually took the Georgia Bulldogs. I do like that program. I like the uniforms, and I've always kind of had a thing for Georgia. It's probably because of the Bulldog, Uga. Always loved that. From a football team standpoint, I do think their defense is going to be nasty. They returned 10 starters, including, a really good group of linebackers and a good secondary. This is a veteran defense that I think is going to carry the way for them, their defense plus their rushing attack as they get back Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. Obviously, a bit of a break in the schedule as well, as they don't play Alabama in the regular season. So I'm going with Alabama and then Georgia in the East. So Kirby Smart to take on his former boss in the SEC title game.
Alabama is a given. They're loaded. Jalen Hurts is back. Bo Scarborough is back. They just reload every year, and it's tough. The rest of the West really hasn't, they've fallen back. LSU has fallen back. Texas A&M has taken a step back. Auburn has taken a little step back. And we'll talk about them in a little bit, too. So I think Alabama is still the class of the SEC West, even though they lose a ton. But they lose a ton every year, and they always answer the bell. Excuse my dog for squeaking his tennis ball, but I have to have him in the office with me right now, so he has to keep himself entertained. Anyway, out of the East, I texted you last night talking about it. I said it doesn't really matter. Florida's won the last two SEC East titles. But they got blown out last year. They just didn't score enough points. Their defense is pretty good. Georgia's offense wasn't very good last year either. They struggled, but I think having a sophomore, Jacob Eason, the two running backs coming back, and then they have a stout defense. The Florida-Georgia game, which we might talk about later as well, in our best game of the year in the SEC, it's the world's largest cocktail party. The winner of that should win the SEC East, and I think Georgia's got the upper hand this year. So yeah. Let's go, coach, in the hot seat.
It's a pretty clear toss-up, though, I think, between Florida and Georgia, and I do think the rest of the division is a step behind those two. Coach on the hot seat, I'm going Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M. You don't get paid $5 million a year to go 8-5 every year, and that's kind of what they've fallen into. Three straight seasons of 8-5. They start off hot, and then they kind of collapse toward the end of the year. Just a lot of attrition on that roster, quarterback turnover. It just makes you wonder whether or not Kevin Sumlin's going to be able to kind of get them from pretty good to great. And for me, it's an example of what Nick Saban has done to the conference and the division as a whole, as, you know, opposing fan bases see what Alabama's doing. It just gets them antsy and thinking, well, why not us? And Texas A&M, their fan base views themselves as someone that should be higher than 8-5. And to be fair, they're spending money to be higher than 8-5. But it's, you know, I just don't know if they're going to be able to take another step forward. And if you've plateaued, it usually means at most places, if you end up plateauing and there's a lack of progress, even if your level is pretty good, you usually don't last too much longer.
That's right. I am going to go with Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss. It's kind of an easy one to pick. The sanctions there, rival at Mississippi State, getting smoked by Vanderbilt by 3 touchdowns. They just weren't competitive last year outside of a 5-point loss to Alabama at home. They have, these sanctions, right? It's an investigation that's going on for about 5 years now, and the sanctions are going to come down eventually from the NCAA. They have a self-imposed bowl ban for this year, and it's hard for coaches to survive that. They're coming off a 5-7 season. They're a tough division. Ole Miss, I think the administration thinks that they belong with the rest of the SEC West, and they've been close. They've knocked off Alabama a couple of times. They've been in the top 5. They've been ranked in the top 2, I believe, and they just can't get over that hump. And right now, it's do or die for Ole Miss, and they're projected to come in last in the SEC West, which is not terrible. Somebody has to finish last in that division, and it's a really tough division. But you know, they went 5-7 last year after a 10-3 season, so that was extremely disappointing. 9-4 the season before that, and 8-5. So there was steady improvement from 2013 up until 2015, and then it just, you know, the stuff hit the fan last year. The schedule is not that easy. They have to go to Alabama, they have to go to Auburn, and they play at Mississippi State Thanksgiving night, which will give us something to watch, the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night. But I don't think Hugh Freeze is long for that job if sanctions start coming down the way everybody expects them to.
Yeah, that's very fair. Hugh Freeze, I'd be quite surprised if he was the coach there. And I know that their administration is publicly very much backing him and doubling down on him. I'd be pretty surprised if he's the coach there when next season, the 2018 season, kicks off.
Yeah, let's move on to venue you'd like to visit.
I mean, there are obviously there's a lot of great venues in the SEC that I'd love to go see to experience a game. But since we only get to pick one, I'm taking LSU, and I'm taking a night game to see Death Valley at night. I don't think I have to explain what kind of atmosphere that is. I might not particularly have a ton of fun watching them play offense during that game, but I'd have a whole lot of fun just being there.
Yeah, I did not pick LSU, but that's only because I've been to a game at LSU way before I could enjoy tailgating properly. I was there for LSU Notre Dame game when Coach DiNardo was there. So much fun. It was a lot colder than expected in November, but it was so much fun. RVs were parked out there all week and a lot of fun. But mine is a toss-up between Tennessee and Ole Miss. Again, like Washington, Tennessee has the Volunteer Navy. You tailgate on a boat, go to the game, very cool. And then Ole Miss has the Grove. And I don't think you could beat that in the SEC for tailgating. Two very special places in college football. I'm going to have to go with Tennessee and the Volunteer Navy with that slightly over the Grove at Ole Miss, but I'd love to do both. If there's time to go down to Knoxville or down to Oxford, Mississippi, that's a trip I'd love to make. Best uniforms.
Well, I almost went with Georgia because I love those silver britches. And for those to watch Squidbillies, you get that. But I went with LSU. They've got that classic look. Particularly, they've gone back towards it more here in the last few years. I think that they've got three really good combinations. They're purple and gold, and then, you know, when they mix in the white as well, it's a clean look. It's a classic look, and you know, you can't go wrong with that Tiger logo they've got as well. So I'll go LSU.
Yeah, I went LSU as well. I think they have the best uniforms in the country. You know, I saw them when they played Notre Dame in the Independence Bowl in the late 90s. They broke out those white helmets. I fell in love with the white helmets then. Still love the white helmets now. But they wear white at home with that yellow helmet, the purple trim, yellow pants. It just looks fantastic. So LSU is not only my favorite in the SEC, they're my favorite in the country as well. Let's go program on the rise.
You know, it's really hard to rise in the SEC. It's hard to pick a riser from the West because the top of the league is so firmly entrenched. So in the East is where I turn my attention, and I'm going with Georgia based on how they are recruiting. Georgia's recruiting at a really high level right now under Kirby Smart, and I'm not entirely sure whether or not he's a great head coach yet. Know how anybody could be, and you have to be to win consistently in this league, or any league for that matter. I don't want to make it, you know, be one of those people that just pretends like the SEC is the only good place in college football, but Georgia's recruiting right up there behind Alabama. Nobody recruits with Alabama, but right behind them is the Bulldogs, and they've got a top-notch defense under Kirby Smart, which is the way you have to build things to be consistently successful. And I do think you'll start to see that offense come around under either Jacob Eason or somebody else, because they did bring in a couple of more really highly touted quarterbacks. So I'll go with Georgia mainly because I think the East is there to be taken control of. If you can take control of that, you can start to win 10, 11 games every year and maybe turn yourself from just an SEC East contender into a national contender.
Yeah, I went with Georgia as well. It seems like Florida, if they can't figure that out on offense, could be looking at a coaching change. South Carolina's still rebuilding with Will Muschamp. And then you have Kentucky, Vanderbilt. Tennessee, I think, is on the way down. And Butch Jones could be on the hot seat as well. And Georgia really is that only team really on the rise, maybe Kentucky as well. but it is Kentucky. But Georgia, you know, has that national cachet to be able to, you know, maybe compete with Alabama down the road. Most interesting program, TJ?
You know, the teams that I have chosen to be interesting, I think people are probably wondering what's wrong with me.
Well, there are no option another teams one. In the SEC.
No, there's not. But there is a team coached by a hilarious individual that's probably a gigantic jerk. And we learned this during his time in the Big Ten. That's right. I'm going with Mr. Brett Bielema and the Arkansas Razorbacks. It's a perfect fit. Bielema, I mean, he fits Arkansas to a T. I do like their uniforms. I like their nickname. The Razorback is cool. I like the aesthetic on TV. They got the Woo Pig Suey chant going, which I don't really understand at all. Bielema, I think, is absolutely hilarious. He gives, he really does not care at all what anyone thinks of him. They consistently play entertaining games. It's one thing. I mean, when you turn in to watch them, you know you're going to get high scoring and you're going to get some drama. Just Arkansas has consistently played one possession games. And now, what makes them interesting moving forward? They constantly end up with 6, 7, or 8 wins. They don't bottom out, but they don't really break into that top half of a very tough division. So, is that going to be enough for Arkansas fans, or do they begin to grow restless with Bielema? Paul Rhodes, I think, is a well-respected defensive coordinator, but right now the defense really sucks. So if Paul Rhodes can get that defense going and they can raise the level on defense just a little bit, maybe they can step up and get into that 9-10 win category occasionally. If he can just have those occasional seasons, I think Arkansas fans will be really happy with the program. But so far, that breakthrough hasn't happened yet. So do they get restless and think they can do better, or do they stay satisfied with Bielema? That's what makes them interesting to me, because there are so many heavyweights around them. What's going to be good enough?
Yeah, Arkansas is a good one. I went with LSU. They're interesting because they fired Les Miles in the middle of last year after a game that appeared that they had won, got reversed to a loss, and they replaced him with Ed Ogeron, who's entertaining and all of that. But
Coach
the interesting part is that Coach O wasn't the highest name on anybody's list in terms of taking over a program of LSU that's top 10 program in the country, maybe even top 5. But, you know, what do they do? How does he recruit? How does he coach? He was not very successful in coaching at Ole Miss. He had a nice fill-in year after Lane Kiffin got fired at USC. But what happens? Does LSU take a step back? Can he get these big-time recruits out of Louisiana to come to LSU? And can he match wits with Nick Saban and do what Les Miles, who is arguably the most successful coach in LSU history, if not one of the top three to go through there. Does he have, you know, the balls that Les Miles had when running that program? I don't know. But anyway, we've had Alex Compton on the line here for a few minutes, getting ready for the rest of the group of five. Let's start off with the MAC, and let's bring Alex Compton in. Alex, how are you?
Good, Sammy. How about yourself? Getting close to football season.
It is getting close. 43 days starting tomorrow, or 44 and 42 minutes right now till we kick it off. So I know TJ and I and the rest of Hoosier Huddle, you and David, we're chomping at the bit to get ready. Alex, you're our MAC, in-house MAC expert. Let's go over some quick tidbits in the MAC, and we'll go with you, Alex, and TJ, then I'll give it, and we won't go as much into depth. We have four conferences to cover here, but who's your MAC division champions this year?
Yeah, so first of all, great title, being the in-house MAC expert. That warms my heart, so I've been a huge MACing guy for years. With that being said, though, It pains me to say it as a diehard NIU fan, but I do think Toledo is going to break through this year and finally win the West. You look at their team, specifically on offense, they have Logan Woodside, who is without a doubt one of the best non-group Power 5 quarterbacks in the country, and he's obviously the best quarterback in the MAC. But like I said, can they get over that hump? They've been good for years. They just haven't been able to beat Western Michigan and NIU. I think they could do it this year. So look for Toledo in the West. On the East, I do like Miami, Ohio as kind of like a sleeper pick. They got really hot at the end of last year. They actually blew their bowl game against Mississippi State. But you look at Miami, Ohio, if they can replace some production at the end, they have probably the best defense in the MAC. Their two corners on the outside, Jatarius Jones and Austin Gearing, those are good players. And I think Miami, Ohio actually could get it done in the West this year. Gus Ragland, their quarterback, probably the second-best quarterback in the league. So I think that a Toledo-Miami, Ohio little in-state rivalry could be kind of fun in the MAC championship.
All right, TJ, you're MAC champion.
I'll take Toledo in the West. I do think that they're going to break through and finally get it done. And if not this year, then you got to question, will it ever happen? I do see them winning double-digit games and playing in a nice bowl game, even though the MAC, you know, bowl ties are not tremendous, but I think that they'll get top billing there. In the East, I'll take Ohio. Frank Solis has consistently had that program humming along pretty well. I think Miami is perhaps the best team. I just have a little bit more trust in the Ohio Bobcats.
Yeah, I'm going to go with TJ there with Ohio. They're, you know what you're getting out of Frank Solich in the East. And you know, Miami still has some work to do. And you know, their coaching, they went on an unbelievable winning streak after, I believe they started 0-6 or 1-6. But they went on a big winning streak to make that bowl game. They almost shocked SEC, as Alex said, SEC foe Mississippi State. But, you know, Ohio has a favorable schedule. They could knock off two Power 5 teams. You know, they travel to Purdue in week two. They get Kansas at home on September 16th. So if you're looking out for some action over Power 5 teams, those are two you can circle your calendar there. And Ohio does get Miami of Ohio at home on Halloween. So that gives them a little bit of an edge in terms of winning the East. And then Toledo is, you know, they'll finally hopefully get over the hump for them. They get Northern Illinois and Western Michigan at home this year, and we'll see what they can do with them. All right, Alex, coach on the hot seat in the MAC.
Again, pains me to say it. Unfortunately, it's going to be Rod Carey at NIU. He was a guy as recently as two seasons ago that was linked to some Power 5 jobs, including Purdue. But unfortunately, things did not go well for him last year. The biggest gripe on him so far has been recruiting and then a lack of bowl success. He won three MAC West titles his first 3 years and then went 0-4 out of MAC play and missed a bowl game. You can't lose to Western Illinois at home. You just can't. And for a program that's had such good success at a mid-major level, to see a drop-off like that was pretty surprising. So Rod Carey is my guy on the hot seat. And if you kind of read around in the national media, I think a lot of people will agree with me, which is unfortunate. But I'm hoping he can get off of it this season.
All right, TJ, you're coach on the hot seat.
I'll go with Paul Haynes at Kent State. It's a program that a fairly decent tradition that in Paul Haynes' 4 years there since taking over for the likely unemployed for quite some time as far as head coaching goes, Daryl Hazel. Paul Haynes has gone 12-35 in 4 years. I don't really think there's much hope for them to get much more than a few wins this year. You're looking at maybe four. They play at Clemson, they play at Marshall, they play at Louisville. I mean, that's a brutal non-conference slate, and then they're in. They got a tough road to hoe with out of conference, their cross division games at Northern Illinois and at Western. So it's not real pretty for Paul Haynes and the Golden Flashes. I'm going to go with them, and I'd be stunned if he was able to keep his job.
That's a good one, too, TJ. I'm going to go off the radar a little bit in what would probably be shocking to most college football experts. I'm going to go Lance Leopold at Buffalo. Buffalo is a tough job to get a handle on. You're up there in Western New York. It's cold. Their football stadium has a track around it. It's not the best venue to play. It's split between a downtown campus and a campus about 30 minutes away from downtown Buffalo. Fan base isn't great and all that stuff, but he hasn't won. You know, he has a career record of 116-23, but that hasn't translated since he's moved up from, I believe he was at Wisconsin Whitewater, and yep. Just hasn't translated. He went 5-7 his first year at Buffalo, went 2-10 last year, overall record of 7-17. They lost to Albany at home. You cannot lose to Albany at home, an FCS team, and not a great FCS team at that. They beat Army in overtime, which was probably their most shocking win, and then they beat Akron 41-20. But, you know, where are these wins coming from? They have to travel to Army. They play Colgate, and then you're at Ball State, at Akron, at Miami of Ohio, that and at Minnesota. If they go 3-9, 2-10 again, you know, it could be a short stay at Buffalo for Lance Leopold. That success that he had at Division III has not transferred up to the FBS level, and I get it's a tough job, but you know, if you're under 10 wins in 3 years, they might have a quick trigger finger up for the Buffalo Bulls. All right, let's do game of the year in the MAC. Alex, your game of the year.
For me, I think it's going to be Ohio week two going into Purdue and beating the Boilermakers. Speaking from personal experience, there is nothing like going into a Power 5 conference school and taking them down as a MAC team. So I think Ohio legitimately can do that. Purdue is going to be down again this year, although I guess how down is down. But Ohio could actually be Purdue in week two. So that would be my game of the year as a nice upset for the Bobcats.
All right, TJ.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching that one just from a interest standpoint for me, for scouting Purdue, plus certainly wouldn't mind seeing Purdue lose. That'd be fun.
Something to do on a Friday night as well.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a game that I think Toledo fans are desperate for, and that's going to be the season finale on November 24th. Hosting Western Michigan. You never know what the weather's going to be like end of November in Ohio. As we know here, Jason Candle has got that program in position to win a conference title, and that it's going to be on ESPN, and who knows, maybe Toledo is, you know, maybe they can run the table and have themselves in position for an unbeaten regular season. I certainly don't think that's going to happen, but it is possible. They could be in the top 25. You know, there could be a whole lot on the line that night. So I'm going to go with Toledo versus Western Michigan, and I think that's a game that will decide the West title.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with TJ there. Toledo, Western Michigan, it's going to be a lot on the line unless something – drastic happens during the regular season.
Right.
As nice as it would be to see Ohio beat Purdue, the thing with the most on the line is probably going to be that Toledo-Western Michigan game. I remember watching the Maction game last year. I think it was Toledo where it was so foggy you couldn't see the players and things like that. But that's what you get with Tuesday night games in the MAC. and that's my game of the year. Anyway, Alex, thanks for hopping on with us. I know you're busy down in Memphis doing your thing for internships, but thanks for jumping on and talking some action with us.
Yeah, you got it, guys. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, that was Alex Compton. Let's go for the rest of the group of five. Let's start with Conference USA. Who are your division champs?
Division champs in Conference USA. It's an interesting conference because I do think they've come. They're not quite at the level of the American. That's certainly true. But I think they've come through the overall expansion pretty well, and they've got a good group of teams, particularly at the top of the league. That are capable of beating some power conference opponents. I'm going in the East, Western Kentucky, and in the West, Louisiana Tech. I think those are probably the two favorites, and I do think that they're a step above everyone else, with the exception of possibly Middle Tennessee, who has a well-established, good tradition program. But I'll go with Western Kentucky and Louisiana Tech, and I'm taking Louisiana Tech and Skip Holtz to go ahead and win that conference overall. And watch them. They get games against Mississippi State at home, and they get a game at South Carolina on September 23rd. So a couple of upset out there, while Western Kentucky has September 9th at Illinois.
Yep, I'm going to go with the same matchup with Western Kentucky and Louisiana Tech. These teams put up a ton of points. In last year's Conference USA championship game, Western Kentucky won 58-44. In an October 6th game, regular season game, Western Kentucky lost 55-52. So if you're betting these teams, pick the over, unless the over is like 200. But the over, Western Kentucky, if you're betting on Western Kentucky games, always pick the over. In that, this is going to be a rematch of the game September 16th. Louisiana Tech has to travel to Western Kentucky. That's going to be tough, but Western Kentucky's going through a lot. They changed coaches with Mike Sanford coming in now. I'll give the edge to Skip Holtz and Louisiana Tech, but that's going to be a high-scoring game, and they're going to have to beat Western Kentucky twice in order to take the Conference USA title. Let's go game of the year. I'll go first on this one. It's Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech, that third week three of the year. It's going to be a preview of the conference championship game. It's a lot of points. These are fun teams to watch if you like points.
I'm in agreement with you. Nothing further to say.
All right. Coach in the hot seat.
There are a couple of different good choices here. And I don't like doing this because I do think he's a pretty good coach, but I'm going to go Doc Holliday at Marshall. Just because I know how high the expectations are for that fan base, and they just haven't been met recently, including last season, which was a 3-9, winning just two conference games. That's just not good enough for them. They lost to Charlotte last season. They got hammered by Florida International. They got embarrassed by Western Kentucky 60-6. So that's not good enough for Marshall. It's a very proud program. And if they can't get to a bowl game this season, I think you could see them look to go with the younger head coach and kind of restart things.
Yeah, I was thinking Doc Holliday as well, but I think he's built up enough cachet there.
It would be surprising, but.
To survive, and maybe not another 3-9 year, but a bowl-less year if they go 5-7 or 6-6. I'm going to go Sean Coogler at UTEP. It's an extremely tough job to do, but he's been there. This is going to be his fifth year there, and You know, 2014, he topped out at 7-6, and then it's been a steady decline. He started 2012 at 3-9, or he started 2013 at 2-10, went to a bowl game in 14 at 7-6, fell back to 5-7, 4-8 last year, and if he goes 4-8 and 3-9, he could be the guy who gets a heap-ho in Conference USA West. Their schedule is not too friendly. They have to go to Oklahoma. They get Rice at home. They play Arizona. You have to go to Army. Western Kentucky comes in. It's just a tough job at UTEP. They're in El Paso, West Texas. So I'm going to go Sean Coogler with that. All right, next conference up. We are speeding through here. The Mountain West. Who's your Mountain West champion?
Mountain West is a good league, but it has taken a step back here recently. It is certainly now more than just Boise State, which is good for the league. And, you know, Wyoming has some star power with Josh Allen. Going with Colorado State in the Mountain and San Diego State in the West. I'm going to take Colorado State to win the conference title. I know that that's a surprising pick, but I like that program, and I think Mike Bobo has done a really good job of recruiting. Michael Gallup is a receiver that not many know about. He's a really big physical guy. It's an NFL prospect for sure. Nick Stevens is a really good quarterback. They've got a really good running game. And their defense should be better than it was last season due to bringing back seven starters. I think that they're going to get over the hump and take off Boise State because they get them at home, they get Air Force at home. They do have to go to Hawaii, but yeah, interesting schedule for them. They start off Oregon State and Colorado. They're opening up a new stadium. It's an on-campus stadium at Fort Collins. The pictures of it look really nice. So I'm going to go with Colorado State, and then San Diego State has turned themselves into a very, very good mid-major program. But I like the Rams.
Yeah. And that'll be a two-team race in the Mountain, probably. Maybe Wyoming throws their hat in that race as well. In the West, I will take San Diego State. They're the most polished team. They're probably the best team in that. It's between them and Hawaii, but San Diego State is probably better than Hawaii. In the Mountain, I will take Boise State. They've been there before. They know how to win the big game on the road. They have a chance to upset a Power 5 team with Virginia coming in onto the Smurf turf. They have to go to Washington State. That's a potential upset opportunity there as well if their defense could shut down Luke Falk. But Boise State, they return. They have Brett Ripon at quarterback, who's been fantastic. And although they don't have a ton of returning experience, they've been there before. They know how to play in these big games and win those games. So I'm going to go with Boise State over Colorado State there. How about your best game in the Mountain West?
I'm going to go with Boise State at Colorado State for reasons that I mentioned. I mean, if I'm taking Colorado State to win their division, they obviously have to knock off Boise State. So I'm taking that, and it comes at the end of a tough stretch for them. They've got Air Force. They're at New Mexico, which is a physical running team, versus Air Force at Wyoming, and then you got Boise State at home November 11th. So I'll go with that one, and I think that game does ultimately decide the Mountain.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Boise State at San Diego State in a championship game preview. Those are the two favorites in the conference, and that'll get to know each other, and it should be a good game down in San Diego. They didn't play last year against each other, but that has my game of the year on there. It comes earlier in the season on October 14th, and it should go a long way into how these two teams' seasons go in their divisions. All right, coach on the hot seat in the Mountain West.
I don't think there is one, to be honest. I think the schools that could have made a change definitely did. If you're going to pick anybody, it kind of has to be Tony Sanchez at UNLV, but people really seem to like what he's building there in terms of recruiting. As a former high school coach from the power of Bishop Gorman High School there in Vegas. So it's a hire that made sense, and, you know, he's still pretty early in his tenure, but if you're going to pick anybody, I guess it has to be him, but I don't think there will be a coaching change in this league.
Yeah, this is a tough league to pick a coach in the hot seat. I went with Tony Sanchez as well. He's heading into that all-important third year, a guy who is, you know, Bishop Gorman's one of those national powers in high school, and they wanted to see if that could translate there and keep those Vegas recruits at home. He's 7-17 in his 2 years at UNLV. Their schedule does not really set up that well. They do get Howard, but they do have to travel to Idaho, at Ohio State, which is tough, at Air Force, and then you end the year at New Mexico and at Nevada. So it could be another tough year for UNLV, but if they bottom out, it could be a quick hook, especially with these high school coaches. Anyway, let's move on to the Sun Belt, which is our final conference, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit about the independents. Sun Belt champion. Who is your Sun Belt champion?
Well, there are no no divisions, so you know, you're kind of stuck picking between Appalachian State, Troy, or Arkansas State. And as a result of the schedule, I'm going to take Appalachian State. I think that their schedule is slightly easier. These three schools are the clear-cut top three. I think beyond that, you're really searching for quality teams. But those top three are pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going to take Appalachian State as well. They do miss Troy. They do miss Arkansas State on their schedule, which makes it tough. It's really going back to that old school Big Ten tiebreaker mentality of a champion. But I'm going to go Appalachian State. They've been waiting for a breakthrough. They get Wake Forest at home. That's an opportunity for them to win, beat a Power 5 team, and we'll see where they go from there. Best game?
It's probably the season finale for Arkansas State hosting Troy. There's a chance that could decide the conference crown, but at the very least, it will be an elimination game. I mean, the loser of that game will certainly not be winning the conference. So I'll go Arkansas State hosting Troy on December 2nd.
I went with that as well. It's the two of the best teams matching up against each other. It's one of the few games that happens in this conference due to the scheduling stuff. Arkansas State against Troy is my game of the year. Who's on your hot seat?
I mean, it's weird to call a second-year coach on the hot seat, but Tyson Summers at Georgia Southern certainly is. He turned his back on the option a little bit, which did not go over well with fans in Georgia in that community, which is a pretty proud football tradition. They expect good results, and they didn't get it. I think things would have been okay had he kind of turned away from the option and like won 9 games, but they only won 5, and there was a pretty senior laden roster that he had. So now you're kind of starting over in terms of your starters returning. He is at least verbally backing the move back to the option. Bringing in Brian Cook as the new offensive coordinator. So, you know, that's positive, but it's a tough schedule with games at Troy, at Appalachian State, and Arkansas State. They drew all three of those. and then they've got at Auburn to open the season, and of course September 23rd at Indiana. So, you know, you're looking at two losses right there, most likely. It's not a guarantee that Indiana beats them, but Indiana will be heavily favored. So you've got those two, and then you've got the three favorites on your schedule in your conference as well. So it's kind of hard to find a path to a bowl game for Georgia Southern, and if Tyson Summers misses another bowl game, say the option offense does not come together for him in year two, well, it would not be shocking to see Georgia Southern say we're better than this and go elsewhere.
Yeah, I had Tyson Summers as well. He's already made his coordinator changes after a disaster last year, trying to throw the ball more. Georgia Southern, those fans are very prideful of the triple option that they run. He changed it. It did not go well, which does not endear you to the fans. And you know, you got to win games too. If you're going to change something up like that, yeah, you're right. You got to win games. So Tyson Summers is my coach in the hot seat there. Let's go talk about independent teams here for a little bit. Of course, Notre Dame is the biggest independent school. And then you also have Army, BYU, and Football Power, the UMass Minutemen, are independent as well, since no conference would want to take them in fear of unbalancing, you know, divisions or something. So let's start with Notre Dame. Since there's no game of the year, conference, stuff like that, let's pick what out of those four teams, what's your game of the year?
I think it probably is Notre Dame, since they do have such an interesting schedule always. Gosh, there's a lot to choose from, but I think since they so rarely play, and it's an early season game where you still don't know what to expect, maybe they'll end up being really good. For instance, Notre Dame, Michigan State last year, you know, we thought that, wow, that's an early game between two top 20 teams. Well, it turns out they both were terrible. So, but early in the year, you don't know that. So you're tricked into believing, hey, I just watched a really good game.
Notre Dame, Texas.
Yeah, there you go, Notre Dame, Texas. Hey, the common thread here, huh? But
yeah.
I'll go with September 9th, an early season game between two teams that rarely play, but I know that Georgia fans are really looking forward to it. A game at Notre Dame Stadium between the Georgia Bulldogs and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So I'll go with that one, September 9th. What are the stakes for it? No clue, but if Georgia wins that one and goes on to win the East, and then, you know, maybe that gives them a chance at a New Year's Six game, whereas a loss to Notre Dame plus a loss to Alabama in the SEC title game, you're looking at already the best you can do is 10-2. If you drop another one somewhere in there, your New Year's Six game is probably off the table. And for Notre Dame, the stakes are clear for them with Brian Kelly entering the year needing a good season. An early home loss to the Georgia Bulldogs would not be a good way to get things going.
No, and I'm going to go Notre Dame, rivalry game. Rivalry games are always fun. They play for the Jewel Chalet. It's one of the traditional rivalries in college football, and nobody can forget the Bush push that happened in 05. By then, you'll know what Notre Dame is made out of, and USC is supposed to win or be in contention for the Pac-12 title. So it could be, you know, a nice win for USC or a great win for Notre Dame. Let's go coach on the hot seat.
Brian Kelly, you can say what you want about how good of a coach he might be. I know he's highly respected in the industry, but at some point, Notre Dame fans, they don't tolerate seasons like 4-8. They just don't. It doesn't matter what you did 2 years ago. You go 4-8, and you're instantly on the hot seat. If you're at a place like Notre Dame, they expect a lot better than that. For the resources they commit to football, you can understand their expectations. They want to be in the national conversation, and quite frankly, they're just not. and they haven't been on a consistent basis for quite some time. There have been years where they have, you know, jumped up and done it, and that raises expectations back up again, only to drift back. And if you drift back to 4-8, you better not follow it up with a season that's anything less than like 8 wins.
Yeah, I agree on Brian Kelly. He just comes off as a dislikable fellow, and you cannot, you know, just win 4 games at Notre Dame and be the type of coach that he is. But this is a gut check year for Notre Dame. They have a tough schedule as always. You know, Georgia's coming in. We talked about that. They have to go to Michigan State. They have to go to North Carolina. They get USC at home. They have to travel to Miami and to Stanford. And then Navy's always a tough game for them recently. I think if they don't win 8 games or they win 8 games or fewer, I think he's on his way out in South Bend with the way they've had performances. But it's a gut check year. You'll see what Notre Dame's made of this year. If they want to fight for Brian Kelly's job, they're going to need to win 9 or more games, which it's not out of the question that this team might not even win 6 games. And back-to-back losing seasons for Notre Dame is unacceptable in South Bend. And Brian Kelly will see himself looking for another job after that. And that does it for our national previews. I suspect we would have gone Notre Dame for best uniforms and venue, either BYU or, well, Army's in there too, as venues you want to visit. Is there anything else you want to add, TJ?
I'm not voting Notre Dame best for anything. That's it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on our tour around the country of all the conferences. I think we touched on them all and touched on them pretty fairly. Hopefully we don't look like complete idiots at the end of the year, you know, when, you know, Auburn or, you know, Kentucky wins the SEC and other teams, maybe Oregon State. Well, you were high on Oregon State. Maybe Cal wins the Pac-12. And some UTEP wins Conference USA. We could look like complete and total idiots. But thanks, guys, for joining us on our tour around the country. We'll do it again next year. College football is right around the corner, so keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com and follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Put out the link again. And if you have a chance, do rate it. It doesn't matter what you rate it, but do rate it. And tell us, give us your feedback as best as you can. Thanks for joining us, TJ, and IU football will be here shortly.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hope everybody enjoyed this. I know we had a lot of fun doing it. So our IU-centric podcast and season preview podcast stuff for IU-centric stuff will be coming up shortly. We'll get that rolling. I know we're already ready for it. We don't need too much research for that, but we will have that coming up soon, and of course, Hoosier Huddle will have our continued countdown and all of our other good preseason stuff. So hope everybody enjoyed this. We know we love doing it. Thanks, everybody.
Yep, and don't forget to tune in on Monday as we'll be live in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days as Coach Allen and Indiana's players will be going on Monday, so we'll have lots of content up from Chicago, and thanks for listening.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring... The best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.